There is a storm sweeping the world, but to what end? The Yellow Vest movement in France started online in May 2018 and by November spreading to Belgium, motivated by rising fuel prices, the high cost of living, and claims that disproportionate burden of the government's tax reforms were falling on the working and middle classes. Protesters are sick of high taxes, the ridiculously low minimum wage, austerity measures, traffic enforcement cameras.
Aren't we all?
Neoliberals and are calling for President Macron to resign. Good on you, vive la révolution! Every human has the right to rise up against their tyrannical dictatorial leaders. Act 1, the protests began on 17th of November 2018 and attracted over 300,000 people. By the 21st of November, 585 civilians and 115 police officers had been injured. In the French overseas region of Réunion, schools were closed and there were looting and riots. President Macron ordered the deployment of troops to the island to suppress the protests. Act 2. On the 24th of November, the protests attracted 106,000 people all across France, only 8,000 of whom were in Paris, where the protests turned violent. Act 3. An 80-year-old Algerian woman trying to close her shutters was killed by police with a tear gas canister. More than 100 cars were burned in Paris during the protest on 1st of December, and the Arc de Triomphe was vandalized. Act 4. Paris experienced protests for the fourth consecutive week. Many shops were boarded up in anticipation of violence, with the Louvre, the Eiffel Tower, and the Paris Opera also being closed. Police assembled steel fences and deployed armoured vehicles on the streets. In his 10th of December speech to the French people in response to the movement, Macron pledged €100 per month increase in the minimum wage in 2019 and made other vague promises.
Française, Français.
Dear French citizens.
Voilà ensemble.
Millate Azize Iran.
We are here today, together, in discussing the future of our country. The events of the last week in the Hexagon in France have troubled the nation. I will come back to explain this and to give you my account and to answer to you about this. Our only battle is for France.
After investigation, it became apparent that the minimum wage itself would not be raised by €100 a month, but that those eligible would see an increase in the activity bonus paid by the CAF. Whatever that means. Isn't this ironic? American sanctions on Iran, the country with the fourth largest oil reserves in the world, have affected Europe, and now protests are taking place because the people of Europe are suffering from high oil prices and rebelling against the same leaders that were more or less compliant to America. Yes, it's ironic that the West's foreign policy can backfire so badly. It's America and its allies which have hatched a sinister plot to attack and defame Islam in any way possible. Militarily, they have invaded the Muslim lands from Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, bombing Pakistan, bombing Somalia, and ideologically, they have carried out a calculated media war against Islam, making Muslims look like backward, barbaric, inhumane, inhuman, misogynistic, terrorizing infidels. If you look at any Muslim terrorist organization, you'll find that they are, in one way or the other, backed by America and its allies. From the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, to Daesh.
The people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago.
We're going to defeat ISIS.
They've created ISIS. Hillary Clinton created ISIS with Obama.
Serious allegations are coming from the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, as he has accused the US-led coalition of supporting terrorist groups.
In the beginning, the coalition said that they were going to fight ISIS. They were even accusing us of supporting ISIS. Now they have all disappeared. On the contrary, they are supporting terrorist YPG-PYD, including ISIS.
We are both committed to making sure that ISIL is defeated.
Well, committed and meeting of the minds isn't exactly a view shared by everyone. According to reports, Qatar is now the biggest source of private funding for ISIS.
Acknowledge that Qatar has been a significant source of especially private donations to ISIS and other terrorist groups?
Well, Michelle, what we acknowledge is that there are areas where we disagree with the Qataris, but more often we find that our interests overlap.
While arming Saudi Arabia, a known Takfiri Wahhabi monarchy, because of which 13 million people, mostly Muslim, are at the verge of death due to famine. On top of it, America is the largest funder and supporter of the apartheid state of Israel, which is suppressing the Palestinians.
Why?
Why this hatred and animosity towards Islam and Muslims? Why did America orchestrate 9/11 and then begin their war on terror, which was actually, in reality, a war on Islam? Why? I'll tell you something. Somewhere along the way, the enemies of humanity, because they don't only hate Islam, they hate anyone who opposes them, realized that Islam has a feasible political system that can provide solutions to the people of the world. And I'm not just talking about a political system for Muslims, but rather a political system which can cater for the economic and financial, as well as the material and spiritual needs of humanity. A political system which cares for the rights of all humans, which allows people of all different religions, races, creeds, and cultures to live in a fair and equal society without overstepping the boundaries which create chaos. A system based on the divine laws of God, which will give all people their humanitarian rights. Right now, this might seem crazy and unthinkable, but just imagine for a moment if people's hatred towards Islam suddenly vanish. Imagine if the lies and fabrications spread about Islam were suddenly answered. Imagine if the misconceptions people hold about Islam suddenly went away. The people of the world would suddenly see this perfect, all-encompassing political system that can cater for the needs of the human race. A system that doesn't take human beings towards consumerism, greed, the objectification and sexualization of women, but rather maintains their respect. A system that doesn't draw people towards depression, alcoholism, substance abuse, child abuse, and sexual abuse. A system that is tough on crime and compassionate to general people. That doesn't take people towards deviant extremism or hatred, but rather towards a total collective enlightenment. A political system that recognizes that the human being is both physical and spiritual and caters for the mind, body, and soul. A political system that doesn't choose its leaders based on how rich they are, but rather how knowledgeable they are. This is the Islam which the enemies have been attempting to hide from you. And they've been successful to the extent that you may be hearing about these ideas for the very first time in this video. Sad. But Islam has not been introduced to the world except as either a pacifist, peaceful religion, or as a brutal terrorist organization. Humanity is still in its rebellious phase. It's not quite ready to realize that God has already given us the solutions to all of our problems. All we need to do is implement them in ourselves and in society. In this rebellious phase, humanity is yet to debunk and reject all man-made systems. That's why the code of Islam is there is no God except Allah. First, all man-made idols have to be ideologically destroyed before one can arrive at the ultimate truth of Allah and His law. In short, the people of the West have started to see the corruption of their governmental systems. The very same liberal democracy which America was adamant to spread is now being mocked, and people are thinking, this is just getting weird now. But it's not enough to see the flaws and rise against it. Societies still need a feasible system to function by. Any revolution or uprising without strong ideological foundations is bound to fail within a generation or two. And the idea which has the strongest and most logical ideological foundations is the idea of Islam. Imam Khamenei points out that the Soviet Union's October Revolution, which did not reach the third generation either, hardly 7 years had passed since the revolution when Stalinism took over. The so-called Labour government, which was supposedly formed to support the underprivileged classes, became a rule of absolute despotism. Why did this happen? Despite the fact that the people of Russia rose up against their oppressors, they still ended up with a person like Stalin. Why? Because they didn't have strong ideological foundations, and this is exactly what's happening today in the West. People noticed in the UK that during Tony Blair, the very same Labour government formed to support the underprivileged became something vile. In the name of freedom, in the name of democracy, societies are being utterly suppressed. The rich minorities are getting richer and the poor majorities are getting poorer. The country with the most billionaires in the world is America, with 680 billionaires. And yet, in America, 40 million people live in poverty and over 5 million live in third world conditions, according to the UN. I don't want to talk about America. Everyone knows that America is a massive mess. But this is a trend throughout the Western world, which boasts its system of liberal democracy. Governments have become democratatorships. The worst is when children children live in poverty. Did you know that in Germany back in 1965, only 1 in 75 children lived on welfare? In 2007, 1 in 6 did. Just look at the percentage of people living in poverty. I'll tell you straight from the CIA government website. The United States, 15.1%. And the UK is at 15%. 15% of the population of these countries are living below the poverty line. Germany, 16.7%. France, 14.2%. And it's just silly to try to compare these with the Muslim countries, because half the Muslim countries are being bombed and invaded by America and the UK anyway, and most of them have not established Islamic republics. The only one that really has is Iran. The only real Islamic Republic in the world, under heavy sanctions, constant threats, being branded as a terrorist and the axis of evil by America and its stooges. On top of that, two of Iran's bordering neighbors have been invaded by America, and despite all this, according to this same website, it's at 18.7%. But this is a figure from 2007. I don't know why the CIA hasn't updated their website. They probably have their hands full. I shudder to imagine if America was sanctioned by the world, if it's closest neighbors and allies were invaded, if it was demonized by the world, if it was in a similar situation as Iran is forced to face today, America would be even more of a nightmare than it is now. Its people would barely survive because its government policies are not there to serve the people as much as they are there to serve the global elite, bankers, and the Zionist state of Israel. While Iran's poverty is purposefully being induced by America and its oppressive allies, who is sanctioning the West? What excuse does the West have for its appalling and disgusting poverty rates? It doesn't have an excuse. The reality is that in my 4 years of living in Iran, I struggle to recall seeing even one, no exaggeration, one homeless person in the streets of Qom or Tehran. I'm sure they exist, I haven't seen one. I know there's a lot of poverty still in Iran. In fact, in 2010, Iran's Department of Statistics announced that 10 million Iranians live under absolute poverty line. But in a country being sanctioned and politically assaulted from every angle, you'd expect the streets to be lined with homeless people. You'd expect severe food shortages. Man, the Iranians' complaints are about potholes in the roads. If only they knew how many potholes exist in London's roads. In the UK, 130,000 children will be homeless this Christmas. Merry Christmas, ho ho ho. In the UK, there are at least 320,000 homeless people. I'm not saying this stuff to scoff or out of any sort of hatred. I've worked with the homeless in the UK before. I've talked to them. I've engaged with them. This is something that I really do care about. I'm saying this out of love because I care about people wherever they are. By the grace of God, in my entire life, I have only experienced one night in the streets. And I'm telling you, it was terrifying, it was cold, and it was lonely. 320,000 people are suffering from that in the UK. A country which has the wealth to cater for the needs of its own people, but is instead aiding America, Israel, and the Saudi regime to create more suffering in other places in the world. I want you to know that anytime they try to make Islam look bad, they are trying to distract you from the real enemies who have caused poverty not only in the West but abroad too. Anyone who tries to spreading propaganda about Islam or Iran are distracting you from the things that matter most. If the people of the West don't rise up against their democratorship governments, they will continue to suffer. And everyone that I know, without exception, living in the West is unhappy and afraid for the future. The Office for National Statistics has estimated that in 2011, one person in 20, that's 5.1%, was now experiencing severe material depression. And we've been made to think that this is normal. It's not. We were never supposed to wake up in the morning dreading going to work. We were never supposed to be afraid of stepping outside our own houses alone at night out of fear of being mugged or raped or murdered. New students shouldn't have to enter the world of employment or unemployment already burdened with student loans. We were never supposed to work ourselves to death until old age, only to find we have no pension. Nurses and teachers were supposed to be the most respected people in the society, not the most overused and underpaid. The police were supposed to serve the people. The people were not supposed to fear them when protesting their rights. The rich were supposed to contribute to society, not that the poor have to pay higher taxes in order to run a country and then have virtually no say in the direction that the country takes. This is not the way the world model supposed to be? There is only one solution, and that's revolution. But as we said, it has to be well-grounded and has to have strong ideological foundations, otherwise it will fail. In 1789, the French Revolution took place, the people overthrowing the monarchy and establishing a republic. Yay! But it barely lasted even a single generation. Imam Khamenei highlights that by 1802, the quintessence of the French Revolution had changed so much, the country that had fought against monarchy and executed Louis XVI by guillotine, after about 10 years, moved to a place where they would allow the crowning of Napoleon Bonaparte, a man who called himself an emperor and exclusively ruled the country for many years. Look at how pathetic humans are when they don't have a strong ideological foundation to base their principles on. They fought so hard to end the corruption of monarchical dictatorships, they even publicly executed the king of the time, that they ended up pretty much back right where they had started. Now, let's just stop a moment and think about what's happening in the West. The UK is still a monarchy, and the public is not only distracted from that sad reality, but many still endorse it. Whenever there's a royal wedding, people are like, oh, how marvelous. They suddenly seem to forget that data based on incomes published in 2016 by the Department of Work and Pensions show that after housing costs have been taken into consideration, the number of people living in the UK in relative poverty to be 13.44 million, 21% of the population. In 2018, the UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty and Human Rights found that UK government policies and cuts to social support are entrenching high levels of poverty and inflicting unnecessary misery. Just think about that for a moment. We believe that we're living in a democratic society. And yet, what if I were to tell you that someone who is absolutely unelected has the power to make all the major decisions and overrule the voice of the people of the UK? In fact, this is a rich and powerful family which has the power to appoint and dismiss the Prime Minister, the power to appoint and dismiss other ministers, the power to summon, prorogue, and dissolve Parliament, the power to make war and peace, the power to command the armed forces of the United Kingdom, the power to regulate the civil service, the power to ratify treaties, the power to issue passports. That's a lot of power, and these are the powers of the monarchy according to the British Monarchy Society. Oh yeah, I remember learning about that during GCSEs, except no. The education system purposefully avoids teaching us about the political monarchical system under which we live. And because of our ignorance, we end up glorifying Winston Churchill by putting his face on the £5 note, a man who killed at least 2.1 to 3 million innocent people in the Bengal famine of 1943. Yes, he was a flagrant racist who murdered millions of people. Adam Jones, editor of the Journal of Genocide Research, calls Churchill a genuine genocidaire, noting that the British leader called Indians a foul race and said that the British Air Force chief should send some of his surplus bombers to destroy them. If this amuses you, then you're part of the problem. Far-right groups like the EDL complain about not having enough for the working class while singing God Save the Queen. If you think these are the ideologies which will help to bring about a better world, then you're mistaken. By glorifying a known murderer, it's no wonder why bigoted far-right extremism is rampant, encouraged by the glorification of such fascist leaders. And any change or revolution which is fueled primarily by nationalistic racism over humanity will fail, because it will always put such leaders at the top. And leaders who don't care about the people of other nations don't care about their own people either. They're motivated by greed and only act like they care in order to win public support and power. Islam teaches us that a leader should be recognized not only based on their popularity, but other qualities as well, including but not limited to their being just, their being brave, and they're being knowledgeable. It's these ideals which will appeal to future generations. That's why Imam Khamenei says, if the ideas of a revolution can convince the second, third, and tenth generation because of their authenticity, then that revolution will survive eternally. The ideas of the Islamic revolution are ideas eternally valid. Justice is never outdated. Freedom and independence are never obsolete. Fighting against the interference of foreign powers is never obsolete. And it's so logical. A revolution has to be based on universal principles of humanity and eternal truths like justice, freedom, and independence in their true sense. These concepts in and of themselves have been warped in the eyes of the public, Without going back to the drawing board and figuring out the reality behind these concepts, people's minds will remain cluttered with nationalistic prejudice, racism, etc., and they will not be able to successfully bring about a lasting change for future generations. It is at the moment an integral part of Western politics to sow the seeds of violence abroad through a post-colonial, hegemonic foreign policy. As long as the West continues to behave like this, it will continue to cause suffering for people abroad and in the West. Imam Khamenei wrote two letters to the youth of the West back in 2015, prompted by violence. Back then, he warned the youth of the West that the government's policies are heading in the direction of destruction and that you have the power to change it. He said, "I am addressing you, the youth, not because I overlook your parents, rather it is because the future of your nations and countries will be in your hands. And also, I find that the sense of quest for truth is more vigorous and attentive in your heart. I don't address your politicians and statesmen either, because I believe that they have consciously separated the root of politics from the path of righteousness and truth." Now, you might look at him with contempt. Maybe you see him as a politician, someone who has an agenda. Okay, sure. Maybe we need to get over this perception, which again, the media has had a huge role in building in the first place. Maybe we should just look at him as an individual. This man has never told a lie. He has a track record, you can find it online, do all the research that you want. This man, unlike all the other politicians that you find in the West, and even the East, this man is the most honest man on the face of the planet. You know what, I'm not gonna tell you that. I'm not gonna tell you that he's the most knowledgeable person in the world. I'm not gonna tell you that he's read hundreds of books. I'm not gonna tell you that he cries in the night praying to God for the sake of humanity. I'm not even going to tell you that he's the representative of the savior of the human race. Let's just put our prejudices aside and consider that maybe he's just a kind old man that cares about people. And in a world this bleak and dark and full of hate, this is a good person reaching out and trying to show the youth of the world some ray of light and hope. He's telling you that you have the potential to be that hope, to be that change that you wish to see in the world. Imam Khamenei is telling you that in reaction to the flood of prejudgments and disinformation campaigns, try to gain a direct and first-hand knowledge of this religion. The right logic requires that you understand the nature and essence of what they are frightening you about and want you to keep away from. I don't insist that you accept my reading or any other reading of Islam. What I want to say is don't allow this dynamic and effective reality in today's world to be introduced to you through resentments and prejudices. Don't allow them to hypocritically introduce their own recruited terrorists as representatives of Islam. Receive knowledge of Islam from its primary and original sources. Gain information about Islam through the Quran and the life of its great prophet. Have you ever received the message of Islam from any sources other than the media? There is a wisdom and a guidance in the Quran and in Islam which empowers the oppressed people of the world to make a positive change. The most controversial book in the world. Some are talking about burning it, others are talking about how violent it is. Who's actually reading it? Are you actually reading it? If you opened it, if you read it, you'd see this book has the power to change not only your own life, but the world. That's what the dominant hegemonic powers like America, like the mainstream media, like corrupt politicians have tried so hard to hide from you. They have attempted in every possible way to warp it and to turn people's attention away from the reality of Islam, because it threatens the very existence of tyrannical powers. The imperialistic powers fear this because it makes people fearless and they don't like fearless people. That's why they attacked and destroyed Libya, they invaded Iraq, they bombed Afghanistan, they funded Saudi Arabia to oppress Muslims, they bombed Yemen, they funded Daesh, ISIS terrorists and groups like the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and they sanctioned Iran and they banned the only significant English media outlet, Press TV, in the UK. Islam is a secret that the dominant powers, especially the Western democratorships, do not want you to know. Imam Khamenei says that, "Dear youth, I have the hope that you, now or in the future, can change this mentality corrupted by duplicity, a mentality whose highest skill is hiding long-term goals and adorning malevolent objectives. In my opinion, the first step in creating security and peace is reforming this violence-breeding mentality. Until double standards dominate Western policies, until terrorism, in the view of its powerful supporters, is divided into good and bad types, and until governmental interests are given precedence over human values and ethics, the roots of violence should not be searched for in other places. The people of the West need to recognize that the roots of violence are in our own governments. Not in North Korea, not in Vietnam, not in Venezuela, not in Islam. At this point, if one cannot yet see that Islam is the solution, which it certainly is, but if one cannot yet accept that, then at least we have to recognize that Islam is not the enemy. Because that's what the real enemies want you to think. Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, power to the people, vive la révolution.
Where have you?